Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, sports director, WLNS-TV, Channel 6, and that is Fred Heumann. Hello, Fred.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
Well, you follow the Tigers a lot closer than I do. Are they on a slippery slope to nowhere here? It looks like they're going to be below 500 by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, they'll make Lynn Henning look like a genius. I said on the air last night, the only guy who's had a worse month than Jim Leland is Mel Gibson. And the Tigers, you know, they lose again today. They've been swept twice on the road, four-game series, once to Cleveland, which is still unforgivable, and this Tampa Bay team, which is a very good team, but you're figuring you can get one or two out of there. And, that, you know, the injuries have hurt them. I'm not crazy about any one of Brandon Inge, Carlos Guillen, or Magaly Ordóñez by themselves. I think they're all a tad overrated. But when you take the three of them out of their lineup at one time, they become a lot more valuable when you look at them, don't they?
And you don't think that Johnny Peralta, even misspelling his own name,
yeah,
is going to be the answer?
Well, again, to use a line I used on the air, I think Johnny Weissmuller would help better. Peralta, I actually like that pickup because he can play a little shortstop. He's a left-handed bat. They ended up sending Larish out today because they don't need another left-handed bat. They brought up another kid, Frazier, from the minors. I think the Peralta move's pretty good, you know, given what, but is that going to make a difference? Probably not. You know, they're in a, you know, I can't remember a team being 5.5 out or even two out the other day that things look so bleak for the second half, but I think this is the situation.
Well, we talked about this earlier this afternoon, but I could not recall a situation where a team had runners on first and second in the seventh inning, three straight days, and they walked a batter, same batter, to load the bases, not to fill an empty base, and just knew that they were going to get the guy in the five hole out.
Well, you know me and my memory. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. All I know, it was pretty big. But I can't remember that happening. I know that Sparky Anderson used to tell George Brett before the game, Georgie, you're not going to beat me this week. He'd tell him that before the series. And I swear he once walked Brett with the bases loaded to force in a run. I could stand corrected, but he would never pitch to George Brett. And I think that's a good strategy now with Cabrera. He's been so good. He's had a monster year.
Yeah.
He just, anything near the plate, he just absolutely annihilates, as he did last night in a hanging slider or hanging curveball that he hit, a ball that's still going. Why would you throw him a strike? And you've taken all the protection around him out of that lineup, and he's not going to see many more strikes the rest of the season.
Right.
And if they can't get Bosch going, and it's real easy, as I said to you earlier, you got to get him out of the five hole, but who are you going to put there?
Yeah.
That's the problem. But I think Bosch, for his mental sake, probably has to move down in the order. I was surprised he played against David Price, because that'll just demoralize the guy.
Yeah.
Leland said after the game they actually played him against Price, hoping that if he could hit him the way he hits left-handers, that would get him going. But this guy, I mean, the baseball, Kirk Gibson, as you know, used to call it the beast. He wrote a book about it.
Right.
The beast will get you in this game. And right now the beast is terrorizing Brennan Bosch.
I am looking at the Tigers' record here, and they are pathetic on the road, 16-33, one of the seven or eight worst records in baseball away from Comerica Park. And I look at the schedule, Fred, and you see that, you know, they got the Red Sox coming up, and then the White Sox coming in, and then they got the Rays again, and White Sox, the Yankees, and not going to get any easier.
Yeah, I'm just actually looking at something I pulled up on the screen when you started to talk about it. I'm not going to pretend that I know this, but with 16 road wins, the only team in the American League that has fewer road wins are the stinking Baltimore Orioles, who are 31-70. And in the National League, there's Arizona, Kirk Gibson's team, and Pittsburgh have 13 road wins. But those are the only three teams that have fewer road wins than the Tigers. But you look at their overall records, and those teams are pathetic. The Tigers are 51-50, and were, you know, 10 games over 500 just a few weeks ago.
Right.
And they just can't win on the road. And you think about Leland's All-Star break comments. He says, we have to play better in the division. They haven't. And we have to play better on the road. And they haven't. They've played worse.
Yeah.
This is a team that's struggling, and actually, you don't think of this 5.5 out in July, but they probably need to start looking to next year because they're just not as good as those two teams in front of them. They're
and
just
their
not.
Run differential, they're minus 19.
Minus 19. I'm looking at that, too.
You know, you look at what Tampa Bay is, plus 126. So.
Yeah, and as they build to the future, I mean, never mind with the standing. standings and the numbers say Tampa Bay's better.
Yeah.
They're going into Boston. They're better. The Yankees are better. Toronto's better. Chicago's better. Minnesota's better. Texas is better. Well, what I just rattled off seven teams. If they're going to be a playoff team and a contender, they need to upgrade.
Right.
And they need more than Cabrera. And they need to do something in the offseason about adding a major player in their everyday lineup and another pitcher. They have to get to that level.
Well, I'm going to talk about a guy who was not a major player for the Tigers and has become one, and in fact did them in again today, and that's Carlos Pena.
Yeah.
I always liked Carlos Pena. When I would go down to the ballpark, I always thought that he had the potential to get something done. I don't know if it would ever happen in Detroit, and obviously it didn't. But in 3 years with Tampa, his first three with Tampa Bay, he's averaged 37 home runs and 109 RBIs, and he's on pace for exactly those numbers again. And I don't care if he bats 220. We've gone through this. The difference in 50 points in your batting average is one hit a week, but just to have that kind of RBI potential in the lineup somewhere, maybe in the 5 or 6 hole, would do wonders for this team.
Well, I agree with you on the first part, Jack. When he was here, he's one of my favorite Tigers, not only because I knew him a little bit, he was a terrific guy, but he just looked like a ball player, and my son was a first baseman, so that became his favorite player. He loved Pena, and he just looked like he just couldn't hit certain pitches. He had so many holes in his swing, and you look back, it's easy to look back and say, man, why'd they let go of this guy? But at the time he did it, did you think they were wrong? I didn't.
Well, I saw him hit enough home runs that one year he was 27 homers, 82 RBI.
Yeah.
I said, okay, you know what? He's got a lot of holes in his swing, but so do a lot of players.
Yeah, I don't remember being that upset when they got rid of him just because of the chances they gave him. And sometimes players just need a chance, and sometimes players, and I'm not saying this is all of it because he plays half his games away from home, but you get in a dome and those balls explode, and I think that helps him. But even beside that, he's hit on the home and the road, and he's beat the Tigers in Detroit and in Tampa. That one has surprised me. He's been a terrific, terrific player, terrific hitter, and I agree with you. I'll take 220 for the kind of run producing he does, and he's a good defensive player, which he always was, and I'm happy for him because I knew him a little bit. But it's hard to question the Tigers on that, but it's easy to question him when you look at it in hindsight.
Yeah, you just think of somebody who is over 30 homers and 100 RBI 4 straight years, and
he's done it 4 years in a row. There's nothing fluky or stadium related about that. They probably should have kept him, but at the time I don't remember saying that.
5.5 out, chance to be further than that tonight if the White Sox do their job. Does it look like the Tigers are in position to do anything else, or have we seen their last bullet here?
Well, I don't know that. I just don't think they have anything to trade to give them any more bullets to help them this year. And I don't think Dombrowski and Leland are stupid. I don't think there's a player out there that can push them over the hump. You can't look at it as 5.5 games. You have to look at it at how the teams you're chasing, how much better they are than you. You won't say that publicly. And with your depleted roster, I mean, if they had those three guys back, you might make more of a trade. But, you know, are you going to give up one of your young can't miss, there's my using a word I hate, can't miss,
right,
upside? Are you going to give up a Jacob Turner, to do that, or a Brennan Bosch, who everyone wants, although he looks a lot more tradable now than he did a month ago? I don't think you can do that. I do think it's time. The one good thing I can say about this Tiger season that I haven't said in 10 years, I've seen more young players play that impress me than I have in about a decade. Now, that's aside from the record. I just don't think there's anyone out there with the other bullets they have or don't have that can make a difference this season. I really don't.
Fred Heumann, sports director, WLNS Channel 6, our guest. Fred, before we let you go, despite how depressing the rest of this baseball season might be, remember, football's right around the corner, and I know how much you love media days.
Jack, I love football, but I love it in September and October. I hate it in August. That's at the high school level, the college level, media days. But I know how I feel when the calendar turns to February, and when I even see pitchers and catchers playing catch, I get excited. So I can feel your excitement with media day coming up, and some of them around the country already going on, and football practices starting within a week. You got to be in your glory.
To paraphrase Fred Heumann, quarterbacks and wide wide receivers reporting. That's some of the greatest words in the English language.
I love football, but I can wait.
Hey, Fred, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
See you, Jen.
All right. Fred will be doing his show momentarily on Channel 6. We'll be right back with more Ebling & You, 1320 WILS.